When reading the book of Esther, the question arises, why did Haman hate the Jews to the point of wanting to kill them all? You ever think about that? Why is that? We really don't know. A lot of people believe it's because Haman was from a lineage that was, that whole lineage was anti-Jewish. They believe that. But we really don't know why. You know, hating Jews is really nonsense. I did a sermon years ago on anti-Semitism, and the conclusion I came up with is it is satanic to hate the Jews. Satanic. Because if you could wipe out all the Jews, which the devil has always wanted to do, they would not be there to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The scriptures could not be fulfilled. Hate. Hate. Think about this. If I say I hate you, is that an emotion or a learned response? An emotion or a learned response? Unlike fear, sadness, surprise, joy, which are emotions, hate is developed. It's developed by fear, anger, stress, and social conditioning. In other words, we're not born with hate. Hate is learned. And this tells me if it's learned, it could also be unlearned. But today, I see hate in our country. Much too much. I see today's hate being fueled mostly by our social media and our political polarization. I mean, there is hate in this nation. I mean, literal hate where I saw on news where some Democrats will not date a Republican or vice versa. You know what I mean? How silly is that? Because if you talk about polarization, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this good time on the Shabbat, on this Purim day that I get to share this message on hate. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your presence here. In Yeshua's name, amen. So picture this. In the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses is giving the recently freed children of Israel the many do's and the many do-nots to live by. And in the midst of those do and do-nots, Moses gives an unexpected command. But before we look at that unexpected command, I want to briefly talk about racism. Racism never should be in the heart of anyone who believes that man is made in the image of God. Have you ever heard of the sin of Miriam and Aaron? The sin of Miriam and Aaron. In Numbers 12, verse 1 and 2, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Verse 2. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoke through us? And the Lord heard this. There's actually two sins here, but I'm only going to talk about the first sin found in verse 1. Moses' first wife, Zipporah, had died, and later he took a second wife, and she happened to be a Cushite. What is a Cushite? A Cushite is anyone who came from the land of Cush. And Cush is believed to have been in Ethiopia or Northeast Africa. So the first sin of Aaron and Miriam was that they were actually racist. They didn't like the idea that Moses was married to a black woman, someone completely of a different text, different than them. Miriam and Aaron were kvetching that Moses had no right to marry a woman from Ethiopia. Now, their second sin was that they also began thinking that they had the same relationship with God as their brother Moses. It was probably Miriam who said, who does he think he is? The Lord has spoken to us just like him. By the way, this is one of the first recorded instances of skin color prejudice. And because of their outspoken prejudice, Miriam was struck with leprosy. Let's read about this. It's quite interesting. And once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. Oh, come to the woodshed. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words." After God spoke to Aaron and Miriam, now we're going to jump to verse 10. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous, like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have foolishly committed." And her leprosy left. So what was their sin? Their sin was a combination of racism and kvetching. Or, you know, how many of you know kvetch? You don't know kvetch? Kvetch means complaining. Kvetching against Moses. Okay, let's turn the boat a little bit to this unexpected command found in the midst of the many do's and the many do nots. It's found in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 23, verse 7. "Do not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. Do not abhor an Egyptian, because you lived as an alien in his country." To abhor means to hate. So Israel was commanded not to hate both the Edomites, who were the descendants of Esau, and not hate those Egyptians who enslaved them and killed their babies. And the question is, aren't those good reasons to hate? It's true that the Egyptians, under the leadership of Joseph, provided a refuge for the Israelites during the time of famine. But policies usually change with new leadership. And you could say that even today. And some changes are not always for the good. Let's read about this in Exodus 1, verse 8. "When the new king, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt, 'Look,' he said to his people, 'the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country.' So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly." Yes, the new king, who did not know about Joseph, was extremely oppressive, extremely. But remember, it was his daughter who rescued Moses and adopted him. In Deuteronomy 23:7, "Do not abhor the Edomite, for he is your brother. Do not abhor an Egyptian, because you lived as an alien in the country." So Moses led Israel out of Egypt, and he knew he had to take Egypt out of Israel. Why? Because if Egypt wasn't taken out of the people, they would continue to be slaves, not physically, but psychologically. They would be slaves to their past. They would be held captive by the chains of hate towards the Egyptians. And that hate would affect their future. In other words, to be free, you have to let go of hate sometimes, because that hate will just bind you up. Why do you think Moses tells Israel not to hate the descendants of Esau or the Edomites, when the Edomites hate the Israelites? Now, here's the answer. God is telling Israel that just because you're hated, you don't have to hate back. Hate will drag a person down. Hate will never lift you up. It'll always drag you down. Think about this. Is it darkness that drives out darkness? No. Or is it light that drives out darkness? In the same way, hate doesn't drive out hate. Only the opposite can do that. And the opposite of hate is love. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 12:17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. You hear that? Well, Frank, what about the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth principle? Well, let's talk about this. The principle was originally given to regulate judges and not for personal revenge. Matthew 5:38 says, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Yeshua goes on to explain in Matthew 5:43, you have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. Then you will be acting like your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the good and bad people. And he sends rain for the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong. If you love only those people who love you, will God reward you for that? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about that? Don't even unbelievers do that? But you must always act like your Father in heaven. But you must always act like your Father in heaven. Well, Frank, if we're not to hate, what about Romans 9:13, where God declares, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated? Well, this is actually a diminishing type of hatred. It's not the opposite of love, but a reduced or diminished love. God loved Jacob so much that he chose him to become the father of the nation of Israel. He did not love Esau in the same way. In the same way, when Yeshua said in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to you and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This does not mean you need to hate or detest your family for the sake of Yeshua. It simply means you need to love your family and your friends less than you love Yeshua. Like Yeshua, we're to hate sin and not the sinner. Like the Passover Seder and the Purim celebration of today, we don't forget the past, but we're not held captive to the past. Are you hearing me? As believers, we sometimes are forced to fight our enemies who hate us, but we shouldn't be like them. We don't have to hate back. You know, in Israel, I know they teach this to the soldiers, and there's some terrible things that happen, and they're taught really to fight back, but not to hate with the hate that they hate you. So here's the bottom line to this. To become more like Yeshua, which we're all called to do, we must eliminate the hate in our lives. How is that? With the love of Messiah and seeing others through his eyes. Through his eyes. I had an experience when I was in Bible college, and I mentioned this before. It's worthy to mention again. I was sitting in an auditorium, something like this, and the rule was, if you're drinking coffee, you have to sit in the back row. So I'm sitting in the back row, and it was happening to be my birthday, November 12th. And I'm sitting back there, and I'm seeing the heads of the people. Some of the students I liked a lot. Some I liked, some I tolerated. Some were just weird. I just didn't care for them so much. And so I'm looking over the heads of the people, and the Lord showed me something. It says I was looking through the lens of the Lord himself. And I can't explain it, but I saw love over everybody. And it was all equal. It was an equal type love. I can't explain, but it affected me so much. And I'm not a crybaby, but I started crying. I took my coffee, put it back in the thermos, and I went home. I skipped the rest of the classes, and I went home crying. I tried to explain to my wife, Pat, what I saw. I started crying. I cried for about 2 days. The love of God showed me how he loves people. How he loves people. He loves them all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves. And we're to be like God, and we're to love also. But that's a choice. It's a choice. I'll tell you, I used to have a real short fuse. And now when my fuse gets kind of short, I think, how does God see them? How does God see them? He loves them. And it just changes my attitude. So we're to become more like Yeshua. We must eliminate hate in our lives by seeing others through the eyes of Yeshua. So, if I ask how many of you have to work on hate, there'd be a lot of hands going up. So that gives you something to work on in your life. God, help me to hate less. I don't want to hate. Let's all stand together, please. By the way, I heard from Marty Spilkes. But I'll tell you, he hated something, and I'll tell you about it when at the very end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know we're not to hate. But some of us are used to that, in that we hate others who hate us. Help us not to be people who are hateful, but people who love. Help us not to render evil for evil. Lord, I pray you change us to be more like Yeshua, more loving, even those people that don't love us. Would you do that, please, Lord? In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. You can all be seated. Be seated, please. So, Marty Spilkes came to me. He said, Frank, I hate this hotel I stay in. I hate it. I said, Marty, it's a 5-star hotel. How can you hate that? How can you hate that hotel so much? He says, the towels are so thick and so fluffy, I can't even get them in my suitcase. Yeah, that Spilkes is a character. Let's end with a blessing. Yavarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yer Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yesei Adonai panav alecha. The same lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace in your heart as you're trying to become more like Yeshua and getting rid of that hate. Amen. Amen. By the way, enjoy the Passover feast.